Welcome to the Behind Their Business podcast, the show that's peeling back the curtain and showing what's actually happening behind the scenes of running a business. I'm your host, Steph Blake, and each week you'll hear from women at all levels of business who are showcasing their stories of struggle and triumph as they juggle business ownership with day-to-day life. Join us to hear inspiring stories and strategies for starting and growing your own business. Hello and welcome to the Behind Their Business podcast. If you're brand new to the show, welcome. And if you are a repeat listener and fan, welcome back. I am your host, Steph Blake, and I'm so excited to be speaking with our guest today. Before we dive into the episode, though, I want to remind everybody that we are really focused on providing an ad-free experience so we can keep the content truly focused on inspiring others. With that said, there is still a lot of time and cost associated with running the show, so we've decided to open up donations to anyone that feels called to support our mission. Plus, each quarter, we're using a portion of those donations and putting them into our scholarship program. And this program gives scholarships to women who are ready to start or scale their own businesses, but they don't necessarily have the financial means to invest in support. Now, my mission in this world is to help women create true freedom in their lives, and our scholarship program is one way that I'm continuing to make this possible. Our goal is to give at least five women a scholarship of $500 each quarter, but I know that I cannot do it on my own, so that's why I'm calling on the collective, all of you amazing listeners, to help make this possible. We also have a couple of special bonuses for each person that decides to donate too. So you're going to get access to the Behind Their Business private community. You're going to get a video version of each of the interviews, weekly accountability check-ins from me, monthly Q&A calls with me to get support with starting and growing your business, and more. So if you are feeling called to support the show and our mission of inspiring others and bringing more women-led businesses into the world, you can go to behindtheirbusiness.com, click the donate button, and give any amount that you feel called to. Every single dollar counts, and we truly appreciate each person that has donated already and those who will continue to donate in the future. Or if you are somebody who's serious about growing your business, but you don't have the means to invest in support right now, we would love to have you apply for a scholarship. You can go to our website, behindtheirbusiness.com, and get the details for that and submit an application. All right, now let's dive into the discussion with our incredible guest today. Welcome to the Behind Their Business podcast, the show that's peeling back the curtain and showing what's actually happening behind the scenes of running a business. I'm your host, Steph Blake, and each week you'll hear from women at all levels of business who are showcasing their stories of struggle and triumph as they juggle business ownership with day-to-day life. Join us to hear inspiring stories and strategies for starting and growing your own business. Hello and welcome to the Behind Their Business podcast. If you're brand new to the show, welcome. And if you are a repeat listener and fan, welcome back. I am your host, Steph Blake, and I'm so excited to be speaking with our guest today. Before we dive into the episode, though, I want to remind everybody that we are really focused on providing an ad-free experience so we can keep the content truly focused on inspiring others. With that said, there is still a lot of time and cost associated with running the show, so we've decided to open up donations to anyone that feels called to support our mission. Plus, each quarter, we're using a portion of those donations and putting them into our scholarship program. And this program gives scholarships to women who are ready to start or scale their own businesses, but they don't necessarily have the financial means to invest in support. Now, my mission in this world is to help women create true freedom in their lives, and our scholarship program is one way that I'm continuing to make this possible. Our goal is to give at least five women a scholarship of $500 each quarter, but I know that I cannot do it on my own, so that's why I'm calling on the collective, all of you amazing listeners, to help make this possible. We also have a couple of special bonuses for each person that decides to donate too. So you're going to get access to the Behind Their Business private community. You're going to get a video version of each of the interviews, weekly accountability check-ins from me, monthly Q&A calls with me to get support with starting and growing your business, and more. So if you are feeling called to support the show and our mission of inspiring others and bringing more women-led businesses into the world, you can go to behindtheirbusiness.com, click the donate button, and give any amount that you feel called to. Every single dollar counts, and we truly appreciate each person that has donated already and those who will continue to donate in the future. Or if you are somebody who's serious about growing your business, but you don't have the means to invest in support right now, we would love to have you apply for a scholarship. You can go to our website, behindtheirbusiness.com, and get the details for that and submit an application. All right, now let's dive into the discussion with our incredible guest today. I am so excited for our conversation today with our guest who's going to be talking all about her experience of running a business with ADHD. And I'm going to share some of my learnings from that too, because some parts are great about having ADHD as a business owner and some parts not so much. And hopefully we're going to be able to stay on track. We were joking about this before we got on because we both have ADHD. So we're just kind of going to see how it goes. And outside of being an empowering voice for people with ADHD, she helps creatives, coaches, and consultants stop being broke and start getting more clients by creating an irresistible service that they can turn into a scalable offer in her program, Yay for 100K, which I'm obsessed with the name of that. And at the time of recording this, she is also very pregnant. So she may have to get up and take a couple of potty breaks during.
You might hear me tinkle in this podcast episode. Yeah,
exactly. We don't really know what's going to happen today, but you can learn more about her on her website at CourtneyShall.com, and you can find her on Instagram, same place. So welcome, Courtney Shall. I am so glad that you are here, and I'm so glad that we are talking today just in general and about this ADHD topic.
Oh, this is like my favorite. This is like, I'm so jazzed for this. I love talking about this. So let's do it. Let's dive in.
Let's do it. So before we dive into the ADHD topic, just give everybody a little background on you, your business, like how you actually got started in your business. And then we can talk a little bit about how ADHD has affected that.
Yeah. Which is so funny. Cause like, obviously those two things are like very intimately linked, but I didn't know it until about a year ago. So I started my business about 10 years ago. It's 2021 right now. It was 2011 then. I have a French degree from school, and I moved to Paris after doing that because I have ADHD, and I was like, let's go to France. So I did, which is where I met my husband, who is from Algeria. And so I ended up staying for 2 years. And during that time, I was really trying to figure out, what do I want to do with my life? And what career am I going to have? And all of that. I stumbled upon blogging and like this world of online entrepreneurship and Marie Forleo and Danielle Laporte and like all those kind of original people on the internet.
The OGs of the internet.
Exactly. And that's really when I discovered online business. And I was like, oh, this is awesome. Because, and the sort of phrase that went on in my head was, if I could just make 30K a year for the rest of my life and not have to get a real job, I would be just jazzed. I would be so happy. I'd just be this bohemian living abroad and like doing whatever. And so, I got really, you know, hit with that dream, you know, and my dream now, I'm like, it was pretty small, but at the time that was like huge for me. So I, you know, continued to, you know, I took B school, I did all these things, programs. I ended up starting my business in copywriting because after a lot of investigation, I realized I really loved copywriting. And so I started working with clients writing copy. In the meanwhile, in my personal life, I had moved back to the States. I'm from Michigan originally. I was, you know, back at home for a while. My, you know, now husband, then boyfriend, was immigrating to Canada through Quebec. I mean, this was like so stimulating and exciting for my ADHD brain. Like I was like, yes, like I can be a suitcase entrepreneur and like digital nomad. And so I would go to Montreal for a couple months, go back to Michigan. I would go visit people all over the country. I was like kind of all over the place. And then I started to get this real urge to, you know, quote unquote, settle down a bit more. I was feeling very needing like some grounding in my life. And at the same time, I feel like there's this parallel growth in my business where I started to take my business a lot more seriously. Like it just started to mature a bit more. So I evolved through copywriting into specifically writing sales pages for course creators. Then from that, I started to notice that most entrepreneurs were struggling with was understanding how to package, position, and sell their services in the first place. That like, they just had no idea how to get clients and to start making a full-time income from their business. So I launched my program Yay for Clients in summer of 2016. And then it was in the spring of 2020, you know, great times for everybody, that I launched my program that we run today called Yay for 100K, which you mentioned, which is what we really realized is, you know, Yay for Clients was a great program. I love courses. I teach people how to create courses, but I really wanted to help people in a much more high level, in-depth way. So we have this much more exciting program now, Yay for 100K, where we work with our clients for a full 12 months. We help them to book out their services and turn their service into a signature program that they launch before the end of their time working with us. So then at the end of that, they have the sort of the service and the course. And yeah, that's what we're doing right now.
I think that's amazing. So many service providers want to learn how to create a course on top of their services. So that's amazing. I'm so glad that you offer that. So, okay. Love that. My brain was kind of going a little crazy when you were talking about all of these different like life experiences that you were having. Cause I was trying to visualize you like traveling to Montreal and then going to Paris and of course, ADHD in action. But when did you find out that you actually, or figure out, I should say, that you actually had ADHD? Was it while you were in your business? Was it when you were younger? Do you remember when that turning?
Yeah. Happened? Oh, it was July of 2020. So about a year ago, a little more. So in retrospect, it's very obvious. I don't know how somebody didn't go, hey, you have ADHD. We can all see it because it's just, nobody does that, right? I mean, until you just stumble on a podcast like this. And I can't tell you how many, because I've done podcast episodes on my own podcast about ADHD. I cannot tell you, dozens of people have gotten diagnosed because I shared that I have ADHD. And I don't know what to make of that. It baffles me. But I think we just don't have, I think it's happening now. You know, this conversation is evidence of just that. But there just wasn't a conversation that this was even a thing. It was never was on my radar. So what happened was last summer, I hit a breaking point. And I really think the pandemic and the restrictions and the lockdowns and the lack of stimulation and all of that, I think it pushed my symptoms over the edge to the point where I couldn't do all my little like circus tricks to manage it anymore that I, you know, adapted to in my life. And I really was getting to this point of wondering, what is wrong with me? Like I was forgetting everything. I was dropping so many balls in my business. I was, you know, I had this assumption when I hit my 30s that I would suddenly get better at being an adult, but I was getting worse at being an adult. Like things I thought, I'll get better at like doing dishes and laundry and remembering things, being organized and like having a calendar, like that will come with maturity. It was getting harder. It was getting worse. And I was like, I just don't understand like what is going on with me. So I broke down crying. I called my mom, and my mom had just so happened to speak with a friend of hers who was a social worker who knew about ADHD. And she'd been talking to this friend about my brother. So it wasn't even about like me. And because my brother had been struggling for years and years and years, we thought he might have depression. He would just go comatose for like weeks at a time, and we couldn't get a hold of him. And then he would act like nothing happened. I mean, we could not figure out what was going on with him. So in that, she had talked to this friend about ADHD, and the friend said, like, you know, you should look into that. And we're like, no, that can't be it. And then my mom said to me, maybe you should look into this. And I was like, no, I'm not like a rambunctious little boy bouncing off the walls. Like, I did well in school. Like, this doesn't make any sense. Well, I went to my computer immediately and I took one of those little questionnaires that they have. And it was like, highly correlates with ADHD, like every symptom about you. And I went through this questionnaire and it was things I thought were just my personality. Like, I'm loud and I interrupt and I'm extroverted and I'm very, you know, a lot of this like talkativeness and things like that. And I thought these are just personality traits. And I actually started crying right then and there because I felt so validated. The realization I had was I thought I had like all these little problems that I had to solve. And I realized in this moment, all of these problems I have, they're all covered under this one umbrella. It's all one thing. And I didn't realize how much it was stressing me out until there was some kind of answer. So that was really what happened for me in July of 2020.
Yeah. And it's so funny that you mentioned your podcast, because that's kind of how I realized I had it too, when you were doing that interview with Denise.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Cause I had recently signed up for her boot camp and I don't know how I saw it, but and I was listening to it and I was like, oh my gosh, this sounds like me. This sounds like something that I have. So like you did, I went down this like ADHD rabbit hole online and I was like, I have never felt more seen in my entire life. Just opened, like, everything in my life finally made sense to me. And just like you thought that they were personality traits. And it was the same thing for me. Like, I remember very vividly when we moved into the house that we're in now, I literally unpacked the entire house and hung up all of the decorations in one weekend. And my family was like, yeah, they thought that I was crazy. And I'm like, doesn't everybody do this? Like,
there's so many who say that, because I literally just moved this week. I just moved, and because I'm really pregnant, I can't do that. And it has been the most frustrating thing for me to have to slowly and steadily unpack our apartment. And I'm like, I wanted to like pull an all-nighter and get it all done. And literally, yeah, like pictures on the wall, decor, like done, hyper focus. Yep. Yeah. And people saying like, oh, you got to take it slow. I'm like, you don't understand. I don't do that. I'm either on or off. There's no take it slow.
Yep. 100%. I remember like 3 months after we moved in, our neighbors were like, oh, how's the unpacking coming? I was like, I did that the first weekend. And people just like think that I'm this weird person. But similar to you, when you were like, I'm not a little boy, like I'm not jumping out of my chair. Like, I can sit down. I thought the same thing. Like, I thought ADHD was correlated with little boys who were not able to sit in their chair at school, because I feel like that's what we've seen. But the flip side of that, well, first of all, I think there's a spectrum. Like, there's obviously more advanced cases than others, but also the hyper-focus thing, I want to talk about that a little bit, because that's not something that I realized either until I started thinking back personally about like the different things that I have done in my life, like unpacking an entire 3-4-bedroom house in a weekend, and like why I used to sit at my computer for 16 hours a day and feel like I didn't have to get up. So can you talk about that a little bit? Is that something that you have noticed in your business too?
Yeah, I think when I first learned about hyperfocus, it didn't immediately resonate with me, because it's like the fish in water doesn't know what water is. I'm like, no, I don't do that. And then I started to, it's like, then I got it in my head. I'm like, oh no, I definitely do that. Like 100%. I could crank out, you know, a bunch of Instagram content or a bunch of content for my business, or I could create a whole program in a weekend, and then I probably won't look at it for a month and a half. You know, so I think the hyper-focus thing, ADHD, in my opinion, is neutral, right? I think everything's neutral, but it's a neutral thing. It's just, hey, this is how your brain functions. And it just so happens that the world we live in, the society we live in, is not super friendly to a brain that functions that way in a lot of senses, right? In a lot of ways that we, you know, have 9-to-5 jobs and the way that we're expected to work and the way we're expected to do things. That said, I think that things like hyperfocus can be used as incredible strengths, right? Because I know that once I get really passionate about something, like you mentioned going down the ADHD rabbit hole, I know that that I read like 10 or 15 books about ADHD in like a 2-week period. I could not stop. And guess what? I haven't read a single book about ADHD since then. Yep. And it's fine. No,
that's
I don't
how I
need
get with
to.
All of my passions. It's the exact same thing. Exactly. It's like 2 weeks on, then never again.
Yeah. And what it allowed me to do was to finally let go of this criticism I was giving myself, this like expectation I had on myself to do things how society told me to do them, to keep my house tidy in a certain way, to, you know, do my laundry in a certain way. And it really, for me, I chose to view it as just a big permission slip for me to just function the way that I function. And that and because I see it that way, it's been really freeing. On the other hand, I know people who feel like ADHD is the reason that they can't be successful. And unfortunately, if you decide to see it that way, then it is going to be that. Like if you're trying to put, you know, a round peg in a square hole, it's not going to work. Or the opposite, square peg in a round hole is not going to work, right? So I think this choosing to embrace these qualities, the hyper focus, especially the hyper focus, I feel like, because I know when I get hyper-focused, I'm like, I've got to strike while the iron's hot because the iron is going to cool down and then I will never be able to get this thing done ever again. I have a closet right now in the room that I'm in my office that is going to be my closet for my clothes. And the baseboards have to go on in the closet. And I know that if this doesn't get done this weekend, it will never happen. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, the whole closet has to be built this weekend or it will never happen. It's not this thing like, oh, we'll do it in a month. We'll do it after the baby comes. It's like, no, we won't. It needs to happen now or it's never going to happen.
I'm laughing right now because I know this. Oh my gosh. I know this so well. And especially before we had my son, like I had the entire nursery done when I was like 24 weeks, because I'm like, if I don't do it now, it's never going to happen. And he didn't even go into that nursery until he was like 7 months old. So it was like done for a year before we even used it. But like you said, if you don't do it now, it's literally never getting done. And
you could have just spent that time like being like, well, we don't need it. It's silly. Like, why am I doing this? Like, it doesn't make sense. But that's judging how you work best when you knew I'm going to be the most efficient right now because I'm hyper focused on getting this done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. It's also not just the hyper focus, but also about the times in the day too. I don't know if that is something that you struggle with, but like morning and like whenever I wake up, like 6:30 until 2 o'clock is my best time of day to work. And I am in hyper-focus mode during that time. After that, I am useless to the world. Like I am going to be watching TV. Yeah. I'm going to be doing something with my son. Like I can't do anything else. So do you notice that it shows up in your day-to-day like that too?
Yeah. I wish I was as clear on that as your sort of timeline, but I think I might have something similar to that. So I know that, I need really spacious mornings and I normally wake up around, like 7:30. So I need 3 hours in the morning and it's not because I need to wake up. It's not like I'm cranky in the morning. It's like, I need my time to allow my brain to like do its thing without telling it to do something. And so it gives me that time to, you know, I personally really enjoy journaling and reading and like, I kind of let myself fall down rabbit holes of like, oh, I'm reading about this topic. And like, that's my time to do that. So I normally don't take any meetings until 10, or later, because then I can get into the workday. I think I'm probably best late morning. I love that you have like 6:30 until 2, because it's like a nice solid block of time. I'm like 10 until 1, and then I kind of hit this, afternoon slump for a while. And then I actually get really a good burst of energy around like 7 p.m. So it's like very strangely separate period of time. And I used to get really frustrated because I would go kind of comatose in the afternoon and I'm like, I need to work. Like it's work time. It's 3 o'clock. I need to do work, but I just couldn't. So now I kind of let myself just sit and watch Dr. Phil and eat ice cream or whatever. And then I know that, you know, I might feel more creative in the afternoon. So I tend to be better at doing like tasks in the late morning. And then my creativity and my flow kind of happens in the evening.
That's so interesting how everybody's so different in that regard. And it'll be even more interesting to see how that changes once you have a baby in the mix too.
Yeah.
So, right. Have you thought about that at
yeah,
all?
Yeah. That. Oh yeah. And it's so hard because I have no control over it. And it's like, what am I going to like there? There's nothing for me to really do with it right now. So I think the best thing for me right now is just preparing for the fact that I won't have control over it. And I was talking to my mom about this because my mom also has ADHD, and this has been fun for us over the last year is like looking back on my entire life, her entire life, like things we used to do as a family, because we are pretty sure both my brothers, oh, by the way, that brother I talked about, he definitely has ADHD. ADHD medication is the thing that like changed his entire life. His is much more severe than mine because he had a lot of concussions from playing hockey. And so it was absolutely game changing for him. I digress. I was talking to my mom about the baby thing. And I was like, the hardest thing for me is that because I have ADHD, logistics are really hard for me and timelines are really hard for me. And having multiple different variables that it's like an XY spectrum, but like both the X and Y variables could go either way. It's like nothing is known, right? And so I'm kind of trying to prepare for multiple different situations, but I think where I've had to land is trying to get away from, I hope this makes sense, but getting away from black or white thinking of like, I'm 100% not working, or I'm 100% am working, or like, you know, I'm going to have this schedule or I'm not going to have this schedule, is kind of playing with, all right, maybe there's small pieces of work that I'm going to do during my maternity leave just to keep my brain active, but I don't know exactly how I'm going to do that work or like how that's going to show up. I also know that, you know, and you know much better than me, but I know with a newborn, I don't have a lot of control over their schedule. And then after that, their schedule changes a lot over time. So I know that's something I'm going to have to adapt to. So I'm kind of just going in open-ended with like, I know this might be really hard for me. I know it might be stressful. I know it also, the silver lining is, and I've had friends who have ADHD and had kids tell me this, is like, it's new with babies all the time, which is very stimulating for your dopamine. It's like, oh, it's constantly changing. Like, we like that. So it's that kind of paradox with ADHD of like, we need structure, but we hate it. And also like, we need constant stimulation, but it can create a lot of chaos. So I don't have a clear plan, but I'm making peace with all those variables, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's, as somebody who's been there, my son's almost 2.5 now. So
yeah.
When I had him, I didn't know that I had ADHD. I just thought that's how I was. That's how my brain worked. And I wish now looking back that I had done kind of what you're doing, where just giving yourself a ton of grace to just figure out how this baby is going to work with your life, with your business, all of that. Because every single baby is really different. Like my son, we sleep trained him from basically day one. So he was a really good sleeper and he still is. Like now he'll nap for like 3 or 4 hours in the middle of the day, which is amazing. But other babies, they're colicky and they're screaming 23 hours out of the day. So it's like, you also really don't know until that baby comes. So the more white space that you can give yourself, the better.
Yes. Spaciousness for me is absolutely key in general, right? Like I need lots of spaciousness because transitions are hard for me. So like going from one thing to the next immediately is really hard. So creating spaciousness by having a nice cushy maternity leave. It's not that I'm not going to work the entire time, but having it so that I do need that time, then I have it. That's what sort of my strategy is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my guess is you'll probably want to work, but like make them fun things. Don't put any like hard tasks that you have or like hard projects that you have to think too much.
Oh, I don't do hard tasks anyway.
Okay, good. That actually kind of leads into the next topic that I wanted to talk about was your business and your team. So have you made any hires specifically because you have ADHD?
Yes. And I love this. This is a perfect transition because I found out I was pregnant at the very end of January. And literally, it was a Friday, and my new operations manager started the following Monday, February 1st. Like, the timing was hilarious.
Oh my gosh, that's perfect.
So I was hiring the operations manager because I knew I needed someone to run my business because of my ADHD, because I need to be the visionary. I need to be in my strengths. I need to be focused on content creation and coaching and the things that I'm really good at. So I'd already hired full-time. She's my first full-time employee, operations manager. And then I've immediately found out I was pregnant. So me preparing for maternity leave, which, by the way, for anyone listening, I really want to encourage you to consider, even if you don't have kids and don't want kids and it's not relevant to you, having a business owner, listening to a business owner plan for a maternity leave is absolutely relevant to you, because it's just about being able to take time away from your business without your business like coming to a standstill without you there. And what I've found is that a lot of people find women talking about maternity leave unrelatable if they don't want to have kids, when it should be like, seeing a woman be able to step away from her business for 3 months should be inspiring to you, whether or not you want to have children. So,
yeah, and call it a sabbatical. Like, don't call it maternity.
Yeah, call it a vacation. Call it doing nothing, you know? Right. Call it just creating a streamlined business, right? Being pregnant has given me a fixed deadline. So it's been very motivating for that, right? Because I have to do it. So that's really helpful. A sabbatical, plan the sabbatical, buy a plane ticket, like do something to put skin in the game on that. But what it's helped me to do is spend this entire year preparing my business for me not to be required. And I would say at this point, I'm about 80% removed from the business. So there's still about 20% that really needs me. I still am very involved in our coaching, though we do have an awesome coaching team inside of the program. I'm still very involved in coaching. I'm still very involved in marketing and sales. And so I'm not 100% involved in those things, but I am still necessary to a degree. And so during my maternity leave, I will be touching base on those areas of the business to my comfort level. But we have spent the year, you know, the operations manager, she has taken on everything HR, everything finance, everything systems. She does all our admin and tech work. I just have to say, it's so amazing, because I've worked with, you know, online business managers in the past, you know, people who have their own business, but they manage your business, all of that. And there's a time and a place for all those things. Having a full-time employee who is literally dedicated to your business, it is amazing how much they can take on and get done versus somebody coming in like who's not 100% dedicated. So that has really helped me to be able to slowly, again, this started in February and I'm going on maternity leave October 1st. So we've taken that number of months to get to a point where I can really let go of the reins.
Yeah, I love that. And I completely agree with everything that you said, especially the full-time team member. I'm not at that point yet. I'm getting close to it. And I'm so excited for the day that I could bring an operations manager on, because that's going to be my first hire too, because I'm just at the point where I'm like, I just want somebody else to run it for me. Like, I will show up and do the things that I need to be doing, but I don't want to do it all anymore. I'm over. Yeah. I have part-time team members who are helping me now, but once I get that full-time person, oh, cannot wait for it. I'm so excited for that.
It's so wonderful. I can't even explain.
I know. I've heard from a lot of other people that it's the best decision that they've ever made.
Yeah.
I also want to know, does your husband have ADHD too?
Okay. So this is really interesting, because we don't know. So he has some other things going on. I won't like divulge his medical situation to
that
information,
but
he was going to a naturopath who specialized in kind of like brain stuff, which is really cool. And I actually would love to do this in the future. And he was working with my husband to wean off of a medication he was on for something else, and was doing some work with him. And so in that they did some brain scanning, and the naturopath also specializes in ADHD, and said that looking at my husband's brain, it looks like he has ADHD from his brain scan, which I thought is super interesting, because I don't have a brain scan telling me of ADHD. I have symptoms and a diagnosis. We think that my hypothesis is that he was not born with ADHD, but that he had a brain injury as a very young child, and that there is some that damage in his brain has created ADHD like symptoms, because he doesn't have like some of the classic hallmarks of ADHD, but he definitely has. And this is ADHD is such a nebulous thing, right? Like it's, you can't nail it to the wall. So we just sort of, instead of kind of worrying about, you know, do you have it? Yes or no, this like binary choice, what we work on together, and, you know, we will work on over time, is understanding each person's dispositions and what works for each person. I would say the things we have in common is we're both really messy, and we are both very spontaneous, and we both love just like doing like random fun spontaneous things, like, ooh, like, do you want to go out tonight and like do something fun? Like, and we're the people who will call our friends at the last minute, and of course none of them are like able to come out with us because they all needed to be prepared like 3 weeks in advance to go out for dinner or something, but we're like the spontaneous people who are ready for anything.
I love that. And the reason that I asked was because I was wondering what the dynamic looked like between you two, whether or not he had it, because my husband does not have it. And he thinks I'm crazy the majority of the time. Like, I'll have a conversation with him and the topic will change like four times in 30 seconds. And he was like, can we go back to topic number one, please? Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Does that ever happen with you guys? Like just random things like that? Or are you just kind of both all over the place?
You know what? He kind of talks like he can often talk in very sporadic ways. So like, he'll be like this, that. And I'm like, whoa, babe, slow down. Like it's like really, it's not all the time, but sometimes it happens. He like gets excited. So actually it's funny, 'cause like, I feel like he does that more. And then on the other side of things though, he is very detail oriented, very planned, very like, not, when I say planned, that's probably not the right word, 'cause he's really not good at planning. I'm actually better at planning. He's very like, he's the kind of person, he'll be like, oh, I need to run these very specific errands tomorrow. And he will run those errands tomorrow. And there's no issue. Whereas like, I'm like, oh, I need to do laundry. And like 3 weeks later, I still haven't done laundry. So like, he's like very he doesn't have that trouble like getting started. He like, if he needs to do something, he does it and he gets it done. And I find that incredible. I like, don't understand how anybody does that. And one of the reasons I got diagnosed with ADHD was because he was working from home during the pandemic. And I've been working for myself for 10 years. I had basically never worked around someone else. And I saw how he would just like sit at his desk all day and just work. And he's an engineer, and he would just work and do this like really hard brain stuff. And he would just sit there and get it done. I couldn't believe it. I was like, is this how people work? 'Cause I will sit for 20 minutes and then I'll get up and do something else. I could not believe how diligent he was about his work. And so that actually made me wonder what was wrong with me.
Yeah, it's so funny, because I'm like your husband in that regard. Like I can sit at my computer and work for hours. Like I'll look up at the clock and I'll realize that like 4 hours had passed and I have not moved. I'm like, okay, well, this is not healthy. This is not good.
Yeah, I'm like, babe, take a break. Like eat some lunch.
No, I completely resonate with that. That's where that hyper-focus comes in, where you just literally tune out the rest of the world, which good and bad, I guess.
That's true.
I want to talk about medication just for a second, because I'm sure people are going to be wondering about it. If it's something you're comfortable talking about, of course, like you don't have to talk about it if you don't want to, but,
Oh, absolutely. I'm open book.
Okay, great. So do you take medication for your ADHD, or have you chosen not to take any?
Yeah, this is a great question, just because I am pregnant. So there's a little bit more to it. Medication. Yeah, I started medication. I can't even remember when, but it was like last fall. You know, the people ask me a lot about the getting diagnosed process, and that is different everywhere. And I'm not an expert. What I can tell you is like here in Canada, how it worked was I had to get in touch with my family doctor. And then they gave me the same like self-assessment that I gave myself. And then based on that, he referred me to a specialist, that then those wait lists get really long. I was fortunate. It only took about a month, but some people I've seen like the same place now has a year long wait list. And then I had a call with them. They basically told me on the spot, they were like, you definitely have ADHD. Like, there's no question about it. Very validating. The only reason I needed, the two reasons I wanted to get diagnosed, one is I personally wanted that validation. I was raised by scientists and I just needed a scientist to tell me that this was this was happening. The second reason was I wanted the option for medication. So the specialist then referred back to my family doctor what they recommended as the medication. And then my family doctor called me to make an appointment. And then I had to have a heart test to make sure my heart was set. So it was all these steps. I finally got the prescription end of September, actually. Now I remember. So from July to September, that's what was going on. And then the medication I used for a few months. With pregnancy, it is not recommended to take stimulants. There is very little research on this. Pregnancy in general, there's very little research on things because they can't do, double blind studies on pregnant women and randomly assign pregnant women to do things that could be dangerous to their baby. So there's a lot of things in pregnancy that don't have solid scientific research. And the only research they have on stimulants is on street cocaine use, and obviously, which is not regulated and way higher doses of stimulants, right? And my medication is not cocaine. So
there's a little bit of a difference there.
A little bit. Yeah. And caffeine's a stimulant, right? So it's just, it baffles me. And it has been a very frustrating process, but, I made the personal decision. There are pregnant people who decide to continue taking medication. And I think that's a personal choice. A lot of doctors will not allow it. They will not prescribe it. They will not give it to you. It really depends on who you talk to. We were in the place that when we were trying to conceive, that even during that 2-week wait, I didn't take my medication. So I was having, there were several months where it was I took it for 2 weeks. I didn't take it for 2 weeks. The irony of that being, I told you I'm an open book because I want to share all this because I feel not only does the medication thing need to be talked about, but women's health and cycles don't get talked about enough. So, and it all relates, right? Your hormones affect it. Ironically, it's the second 2 weeks of your cycle where your ADHD symptoms often get worse. So I needed it more during that time, but I couldn't take it. And then the second I found out I was pregnant, I haven't taken my medication since then. So I've had at this point, more than 8 months of not taking it. I kind of forgot it exists. I'm excited for the opportunity to use it again in the future. I found it helpful, definitely. I also know that I spent, 32 years of my life functioning without medication, and that while it was helpful and while I did have issues and while ADHD is disruptive in my life, that I know I do have strategies for managing it. The last thing I want to say, though, is that I had a really, really hard time in the first half of my pregnancy with my ADHD symptoms. There was also a lot of pandemic stuff going on, so it could have been that as well. But I was really, really, really struggling. And again, not a lot of research on the, pregnancy and hormones and ADHD and all of that. So that's been my personal experience. Other people have very different experiences. Some people, pregnancy, their ADHD symptoms are less. Mine were worse. And I will say at this point, I feel pretty leveled out. And that could be hormones too. That could be, maybe my symptoms are lower now because of my hormones. I don't know. It's sometimes it's hard to tell because it's all these slight changes over time. But yeah, that's been my personal experience with medication.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing all of that and just diving into the hormone cycles too, because I didn't even think about that. And I didn't even realize that your symptoms got worse towards the second half of the month. So that's really interesting.
Yeah. For a lot of people, anyway, some people know, again, it's you just gotta get to know your own body. Yeah,
for sure. And it's so interesting because I didn't know I had ADHD when I was pregnant. So I was trying to think back, did I have any symptoms? And I don't remember. So it'll be interesting when we have, if we have another one, probably, I don't know. I'll have to keep an eye out for it.
Yeah. For me, it was the brain fog. It was I called my doctor because I was can I please just take a small dose? And my doctor was, he was absolutely not. He was very and I actually do have a stock of my medication and I decided not to. That was a personal choice on my part, but I was like, I when I talk about zero motivation, I mean zero. It was like I would just sit and stare at the wall, and I didn't even feel alive. Like it was like it wasn't depression. It was like apathy. It was like nothing. It was just like I couldn't access any kind of ability to do anything.
Now
And
that you
it was
mention that,
really
I had the
hard.
same thing. Now that
Yeah.
for the first, my first
Interesting.
trimester was that exactly. It wasn't
Yes.
depression.
Yeah.
I thought it may have been because I didn't know what it was, but that's exactly what it was. I didn't do anything. I didn't feel like I could
Yeah.
do anything. So yeah, that's so interesting.
Yeah, just and I was like, I'm not even present with like my experience. I'm just like, I'm not here. It was wild. It was awful. I hated it.
Yeah, no,
Yeah.
that's so interesting. And I'm glad that you brought that up because I have tried to take medication in the past and it worked for a few hours, but then towards the end of it, I would go into those points, like into that feeling that we were just talking about, like that feeling of like, I call it being
Oh.
like a shell of myself. Like I
Yes.
feel nothing. I feel literally nothing.
Yes. Yes. I totally know what you're talking about. Yeah.
So like it worked for a little while, but then that like I don't even know what to call it, like the downward spiral, I guess, towards the end of the day, that's what it would feel like. And I was like, you know what? Like for me personally, I don't think my ADHD is at a point to where I want to experience that every day. Like you said, I've been living with this for 32
Yeah.
years up until this point. Like I know how to manage it now. Maybe in the future, if it gets worse, then I will go that route. But yeah, I've turned to more natural methods personally
Yeah.
because I couldn't stand that feeling, honestly. Even my husband was like, you don't even seem like yourself right now. He's like, I don't, he's
Oh,
like, you're
wow.
showing no emotions. And yeah, it was bad.
Fascinating. It's amazing to me. I mean, brain science is fascinating to me. Hormones are fascinating to me. How these little chemicals are have so much power over these slight tweaks that affect our experience and in massive ways, but also subtle ways. It's very interesting to me.
It really is. No,
Yeah.
I completely agree. Yeah. So I could literally talk to you about this for hours, but I don't want to keep everybody listening for a ridiculous amount of time because if somebody has ADHD, they've probably fallen off
They're already
by now.
gone.
Yeah, they're already gone. But I would love to know, do you or have you found like one tip that works for you specifically that you could share with other people who either maybe they think they have ADHD or they know that they have ADHD? Like, what's something that they could do every day?
Wallet, keys, phone.
I love that.
That has saved my life. Wallet, keys, phone. We just installed a touch pad in our new place, a touch pad lock on our front door, so I can't lock myself out of the
I love that.
apartment. The problem is our building has a key, so like I wouldn't be able to get in the building, but I could always find a neighbor to let me in the building. But I can't lock myself out of my apartment. But every time I leave the house, I go wallet, keys, phone. And these days, like face mask, water bottle, but like wallet, keys, phone. If I have that, I'm good. So that has been a lifesaver for me.
Yeah,
So
that's a
easy.
great tip. Also, I want to plug your Facebook group too, because it's such an incredible community for people who have ADHD. So, do you want to talk about that group a little bit?
Yeah, so in my journey of like discovering I have ADHD and like learning that entrepreneurs are 300% more likely to have ADHD than the general population, I was like, oh, yep, that makes sense. And I've always had this obsession with productivity and and now I know why, right? Because nothing works for me, but I also like love trying new strategies. So I'm just in this constant like journey of like, ooh, this, ooh, that, ooh, that. And so I've just felt this need to talk about this more. And I also just wanting to connect with other entrepreneurs who either have ADHD, think they might, just resonate with some of the things we're talking about. So I started the Rebel Productivity group on Facebook, or Rebel Productivity Club. And what I love about this group, and tell me your thoughts, but it's not a group that's like, okay, I'm the expert and like you're in my group and we're gonna talk. It's like really just people sharing relatable things that happen to them with ADHD and entrepreneurship, or just like asking questions, or sharing like, hey, I just learned this thing or that thing. And it's like so cool because it's like these are our people. Like we get each other, like we understand each other. And it helps me to feel like in those moments where I really want to beat myself up because I double booked myself for a yoga class, and then I got to the yoga class and I booked it at the wrong time, and then I forgot my yoga mat, and then I got home and I locked myself out and like all of that. I can just go post in the group and be like, hey, just did this. And everyone's like, yep, done that before, instead of making me feel like I need to get my act together. So, yeah, if you just search Rebel Productivity Club on Facebook, or I think it's, facebook.com/group/Rebel Productivity or something like that. I should know. But ADHD, I do not know the link. You'll find it. You'll find us.
I'll put it in
And
the show
everyone's
notes
welcome to
too.
join.
I'll
Yeah.
put the link in the show
Awesome.
notes.
Everyone's welcome to join. And yeah, it's just a, I don't know. It's nice to have a community that's not like people pitching. There's no goal. There's no like, I don't have an agenda in there except for us to
Yes.
just hang out and share.
Yeah, and it's exactly what you mentioned. It's literally just a community for people to like share about their experience with ADD, share or ADHD, share funny memes of things that are completely relatable to everybody's life. I will admit I'm not in there as often. I try to not go on Facebook very often because I get way too distracted with
Oh, yeah.
everything happening in Facebook. But whenever I go in there, somebody will post something and I'm like, yep, that's me. I feel seen once again. So if you
Yeah.
do feel like you have it, or if you know that you have ADHD and you want a group of people who understand you and who can relate to you, I highly recommend coming into this group with us because it's just a really great place to be with people who get you. So yeah, that is amazing. I'm so glad that we talked about that. But if somebody wants to connect with you, I know I mentioned your Instagram handle. It's Courtney Shaw. And I'm going to spell that because just so you guys know, it's Courtney Shaw. So you guys can go there and
Yeah,
connect
two
with her.
A's, not two L's.
Yes, perfect. Is there another place where people can connect with you, or is that the best place?
Yeah, Instagram's great. And then our website is at CourtneyShawl.com, same spelling. And so, yeah, I feel like Instagram's probably like the best place to hang out. Come say hi, send me a DM, let me know that you listen to the podcast. I love to connect with people. And yeah, that's, you got it. You nailed it.
Awesome. Love it. Great. Thank you so much for being here today, Courtney. Thank you for talking about this topic that I know a lot of people really don't want to talk about. So I'm glad that we discussed it, and hopefully it helps even one person. So thank you again for being here. I
Thanks
really
for
appreciated
having
talking with you.
me.
Yeah, you're so welcome. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of the Behind Their Business podcast with me, Steph Blake of the Blake Collective, which is a female-led company focused on helping online entrepreneurs start and scale their own businesses. If you or someone you know would make a great guest for the show, we would love to interview you. Visit our website at behindtheirbusiness.com to submit a short application and learn more about the show and how you can support our mission. If you enjoyed the show, we would love for you to share it with a friend or a loved one too. And don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. Thank you again for listening to the Behind Their Business podcast. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of the Behind Their Business podcast with me, Steph Blake of the Blake Collective, which is a female-led company focused on helping online entrepreneurs start and scale their own businesses. If you or someone you know would make a great guest for the show, we would love to interview you. Visit our website at behindtheirbusiness.com to submit a short application and learn more about the show and how you can support our mission. If you enjoyed the show, we would love for you to share it with a friend or a loved one too. And don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. Thank you again for listening to the Behind Their Business podcast.